Next on Speak Up.
Years ago, I fell into a deep depression. A series of events had unfolded in my life, and anybody who knew me would say Erica is bubbly and happy.
Hey, and very happy, cheerful, full of smiles to share.
All this and much more on Speak Up.
81% of parents don't think
dating
violence is a problem.
Right.
What you're going through, you think you're the only one that's ever gone through this.
It is not always well. Sex is not the sin, and sex is not the problem.
You know, address the elephant in the room. Don't miss that opportunity.
I think as women, we have a lot of things to do. We multitask, so that's what we have to control.
Depression is the leading cause of disability worldwide, with more than 300 million people of all ages suffering from depression globally. Now, we know that twice as many women are affected by depression than men. At its worst, depression can actually lead people to suicide. But are highly spiritual people an exception to this statistic? Are depression symptoms like sadness, despair, or even feelings of suicide a sign of lack of faith? If you pray, for instance, shouldn't these negative feelings go away? Well, today we are speaking up about depression and spirituality. Who is going to speak up? Is it true that signs of depression is a lack of faith?
I know about this all too well. About 2 years ago, I fell into a deep depression. A series of events had unfolded in my life, and anybody who knew me would say, Erica is bubbly and happy.
Hey,
and
very happy, cheerful, and full of smiles to share.
People were surprised, and there was an embarrassment factor for me. One day, a friend, meaning well, said, you're praying, though. No. Are you praying? Oh. Aren't you praying?
Praying about your
praying
situation.
Praying about what I was going through.
Right.
I couldn't even find the words to answer her, because the truth was, there were nights that I laid in bed, and I couldn't. I couldn't. The darkness that had come over me was such, there was such a heaviness on my heart, I couldn't find the words.
Right.
But I knew he was with me.
That's right.
Right.
I didn't need to say anything. I knew he was there.
It makes me really wonder that when people have this approach, if they really think that we are just little spirits that we go around, you know, hovering over, because pray about it, you know, you're spiritual.
Right.
So do they forget that we are also...
It's a real disease.
We are also chemistry.
Yes.
So you cannot... I don't know. As a nurse, I have to say that this is one of my biggest pet peeves within the Christian community.
Right.
And you know, you forget that you're made out of flesh, blood, and chemistry.
There's a physiology behind
it.
That's
right.
Exactly. Yeah.
You cannot pray depression away. You just can't.
Now, some people may disagree with you because I have some research that says that actually a prayer is part of this whole aspect that brings resilience in depression.
So. You know what? Bringing back to somebody asked her about, did you pray? I was going to say, how dare you? You know, like, how dare you say that? Like, if you were in my place, would you have asked the same thing to me? Like, how dare you?
They
mean well, but
I'm
most
sure,
likely
right?
They either have not walked through it themselves or they aren't close to somebody who has. Because once you have, you would never ask that question.
But that hurts, though. It does hurt, but some people, that's their way of coping. So that's what they roll with. For example, one of my favorite hymns is It Is Well, right? But the other day, I came to the reality of it. It is not always well.
all the time.
Jesus is well with my soul. But the situation, ain't well today.
Right.
And so I think that we have to be realistic about it. Is the situation not well, or is Jesus not well?
Yeah. See, this
soul?
Brings a point.
Knowing the difference.
There is a difference, perhaps, then, between a situational depression.
That's right.
And the symptoms that come with that. And a clinical depression, what do you think?
But no matter what, how you label it, how you define it, and what the circumstances are, there's always the element of chemistry. And because you have a brain that you're thinking with. And the brain sends signals and all that. So I don't mean to be condescending, but if you really think that just prayer will do, you need to brush up a little bit with your philosophy.
No, situational, you know what? Physiology.
Llewellyn, I completely
disagree, but I disagree because I went through depression as well. That was before I got married, when my husband now was my boyfriend before. And I know that I'm going to be okay no matter what because he's going to heal me.
Those thoughts can't even, I can't even, I couldn't have processed
right,
that.
Exactly. Right.
You're in such a state of...
You're in a state.
Yeah. When
your frontal lobe is being impacted,
right? When you're suicidal, for instance, you're not thinking well, okay?
Right.
You're not thinking
your mind
well.
Is not well clear.
Ordered. If your mind is not clear, right. How can you be praying about something that you don't even have rest.
You don't have order.
So this is one of the symptoms of depression where you have this, it's difficult for you to concentrate, even to put your thoughts together. Mm-hmm.
Right.
But for you, it was helpful, it looks like, because it was a situation that you're leaving.
But I guess there's a difference between just merely some sadness or depression, really, because sadness could be like, yeah, I'm sad, I got hurt, and yet depression means like you've been sad and it lingered that you don't know how to cope with those
right
sadness.
But then what about things like depression that's chemical,
right?
You know, like,
but
if it's inside
always
your
chemical
head.
That's the thing, it's always chemical in our body.
But there's a difference between one day you
depression.
Wake up
right
and you're feeling sad,
you're feeling
the
better.
Next day you're feeling better.
Well, yes, but when I say it's all chemicals,
sure.
I'm thinking about the endorphins that, you know, you eat a banana and you've already feel better about it. You go buy yourself a dress. So on a daily basis, you go buy yourself a dress and you feel happy about it. On a daily basis, we are looking for gratification. So on a daily basis, we're dealing with the chemistry in our brain.
People need to understand, though, that there is depression chemical, and then there's depression.
Situation.
I had a situation, and I'm not feeling so great today. Or I'm not feeling so great about you today. Or you hurt me so deeply that I can't have order about it. There's no order. So there's a difference between I'm frustrated, I'm sad, there's no order, and then there's something chemical that I can't see.
But then
see.
How does spirituality play a role in that? I mean, we were talking about prayer earlier. If you have faith in God, shouldn't that matter in this whole scenario of situations?
It will go back to the chemistry. Well, don't we have research saying that they found the God spot in the brain? If you talk about spirituality
let's be honest.
It shows that part of the brain lit up.
What is that?
So there's the God spot in the brain. So there's some chemistry going on as well when we think about God and spirituality. That's what I mean by it all comes down to physiology.
To physical and chemistry. Well, the point here, I think we have a lot of questions on this issue. I think we don't deny it's chemistry, but we need to be able to have some answers. And we have somebody here to help us find answers to these questions. Dr. Julia Melgosa is a psychologist. And we want to welcome you to our show today, Dr. Melgosa. You heard our conversation.
Yes, I did.
Many interesting ideas are there. Mm-hmm. So is it true that somebody of faith can actually be suicidal?
Yes, it is true. It has been pointed out that depression has a biochemical component. That is true, and that means that people who are believers also can be affected. But we must say very quickly that the state of mind and the environment can also vary those internal secretions as well. So it is not totally independent from our state of mind, and it's not independent from the environment.
Very good. We still have a lot of questions for you. Uh-huh. And we want to tell you not to go away. We're going to take a short break. When we come back, my friends from Speak Up, they will be here to join me to ask some questions to Dr. Melgosa. We are talking about depression and spirituality today here on Speak Up. And psychologist Dr. Julia Melgosa is here with us today. So Dr. Melgosa, we were just before the break talking about this whole issue of people of faith actually facing suicide and some of these other symptoms. Now, Erica, earlier you heard her sharing that when she had depression, she came to the point where she couldn't pray. Mm-hmm. Does that happen to people of faith?
Yes, it happens. And of course, a depressive person who is in the middle of an episode will not have energy to speak, will not have energy to get out of bed in the morning, will not be able to go to work. That's why the World Health Organization says that it's one of the most, limiting illnesses. So it has to do a lot with motivation. Mm. That is the main feature of depression. And there are other symptoms that may be present or not, but a few of them have to be present.
So no matter if you believe in God 100% and you still have your faith, it may be the case that you may not feel like praying.
Yes.
And that is
yes.
part.
Is that is true. Having said that, we cannot say, well, prayer is just something that doesn't have to do anything with depression. Because
it's not just chemistry, in other words, alone.
Yeah. Well, there is chemistry still. But the issue is, or the result of the studies of the last 10, 15 years, is that there are a number of variables that have to do with religion and spirituality. Mm. And the number one variable that has been identified in the largest number of studies is prayer.
Ah, over so it is scripture helpful reading, in some ways. Then.
Over Definitely. Church attendance, over meditation. Prayer is the number one. So there is a place for prayer. But if someone doesn't have the motivation to pray, obviously they cannot pray, perhaps in their mind, but not even that. In those cases, I think we have to remember that people prefer that someone prays for them with them
oh,
together.
That's okay? another way.
Well, it brings to a question, what comes first, the egg or the chick? Because if I have this sadness inside of me, I have no energy, and then here I am sitting at the church waiting for God to speak to me through my pastor, and the pastor happens to say, you know, we go through problems, so pray about it. So here I am, I'm praying about it. Yes, because I have been praying about it, and yet I don't feel any better. So I wonder what the role of the pastor and with
great question.
Mental health. When you have all this people counting on you to give you an answer, and yet it's not working with me.
Mm. Well, first of all, when one experiences that low mood, very very deep sadness, together with problems with sleep, with lack of appetite, with lack of energy, with thoughts of low self-esteem, thoughts of even suicidal thoughts that happen oftentimes in depressive people, it's not to go to the pastor, it's to go to the doctor.
Right.
You go to the doctor. If you have a psychiatrist, then you go directly to the psychiatrist. The psychiatrist will be the one knowing the best kind of medication for that. The pastor has a role as well.
Many people trust the pastor and don't trust the doctor.
Yeah,
so
well,
that's I don't mean to cut you off.
But then a lot of times that's why these women don't go to a professional, because they don't recognize it. They're just like sad and praying and hoping that they will get better. But
and
they don't.
Even if they did, they wouldn't want to take medication.
Yes, yeah. Because they think they're going to be on medications, or the stigma of being like depressed, or everybody knowing about, hey, I'm depressed.
And those people have to hear, those who don't want to take medication, they have to hear that medication, antidepressants have saved a lot of lives to suicide. Mm. So it is not just if you can go without taking medication, psychotherapy may work very well.
Exercise.
But it may not be sufficient. Mm. So you may need medication in many cases. And you have to understand that sometimes you may lose your life if you don't take
In regards to what Jacera was saying, the pastoral part, I'm a pastor.
That's right, you.
And I know that when people
I'm married to one. Does it count?
And when people come to me and they want to talk certain things, I must be responsible. And I have to know,
is this beyond my ability?
Is it beyond my scope? And once I hear certain things,
I can be your teammate
as we go to a professional.
Yeah.
Right.
Because I have a responsibility. I'm not trying to save you in terms of I want to get like a little brownie point because I fixed every problem.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
If I really want to help you, if I really want to save you, I'll be honest with myself and say, all right, let's stop here. let me help you find where you can go.
But that takes you to know and recognize what are the symptoms of depression.
Absolutely.
And not to tell the person, you pray and you'll be fine.
And just, drink some water and calm down. You can't say that.
But Dr. Mendoza, you were saying then that, yes, pastors should then recommend a medical help, but they also have a role to play.
Yes.
Yes, yes. I think many pastors lack the ability to listen. They are very quick to give you the answer to your questions.
Spiritualize your problem.
That happens because of whatever. Well, that's not the role of the pastor. The role of the pastor, I think, is to listen to the person. To listen and to be interested and to listen again. And if in that listening learns that, yes, indeed, you know, this sounds like a clinical case. I don't know a lot, but I have found sometimes people like that. Then let's just encourage you to go to the doctor.
That's right.
So part of that role is differentiating between what happens with a situation versus really true clinical depression. I think you were wondering about that, Erica, before.
Yeah, well, like our discussion before, I just think it's really important to delineate and have that line of what is the difference and how do you know between I feel sad, this happened to me, and what I went through was weeks and weeks of a dark cloud hanging over my head,
every
and lack
day.
Of motivation every day.
For no reason sometimes.
Yeah, there was no necessarily rhyme or reason for it. How do we explain that to people so that they understand that this is what we're talking about is a little bit different than maybe feeling some sadness of a situation.
I think today pastors are trained much better than in the past. In general, they are told what the limitations, the boundaries are. They are warned against litigation because someone may take you to
that's
court
right.
because
that's
my
right.
pastor that's told right. me to do this and I got worse and worse.
Good point.
That's right.
there is more to it. So I think that we are in better times. But I would say if the pastor doesn't know, is in doubt, is this a case that would deserve? The better thing to do is to refer and say, I wonder if you wouldn't see a professional. You can go to a psychologist, for example, to a counselor.
That's right.
And the counselor will have the background more than enough to realize when it requires psychiatric
medication.
Treatment,
right.
for example.
Yeah.
So in case you said that you are the wife of a pastor, I think pastors should be warned that if they really don't know if this is critical or not, it's better to refer.
Err on the side.
And now I think there are plenty of ways pastors can get informed and be able to recognize those signs. There are several courses they can take and all that. But we're talking about pastors.
Through experience, I tell you, a pastor that has been pastoring for 15, 20 years, they know a lot about human nature.
Yeah.
They know a lot about mental health, but they may not have the sufficient ability to go through psychotherapy, diagnosis.
You can suspect that this person has this or that.
It's not your place to diagnose and say you might have whatever.
You don't do that.
You're right. But how about us? I mean, do we recognize? What can we do if we were to help somebody who we know? What do you say, Dr. Mendoza? What can we do to be able to recognize the signs or help somebody who is hurting?
A lay person just to help someone else.
Yeah.
Is that what you're saying? There is a lot. The areas of the most support for people to improve any area of mental health is social support, social interaction. Befriending someone who is going through crisis, who is going through even depression, any area of mental health, it's a good thing to be close, to be physically close.
Develop a trusting relationship.
To be friendly.
And there could be somebody that's watching us right now, is listening to you say that if you are this person who have somebody in your life and you have not yet had this opportunity, do this. Develop this trust.
Yes, let's leave it clear. The whole counseling profession and a lot of the mental health treatment is based on people being able to talk, to express in an environment where they feel safe.
Accepted, safe.
We have come a long way. I totally agree with you. Yet I have read this article, now I need my glasses, on Christianity Today, Depression, the Church's Best Kept Secret. So we have come to the conclusion, this is what we need to do, but it's still a stigma.
It is.
To say that I am on antidepressants. By the way, I am on antidepressants.
And this is so true.
20 years.
And it's a very important thing. And so it's important for us to be able to continue this conversation. We're so thankful, Dr. Mendoza, that you were here with us, that we were able to recognize this. And don't go away. We'll be back in a few seconds to see what the Bible has to speak up about this. We've been speaking up today about depression and spirituality. How has this discussion impacted our thoughts on these issues, ladies? I know, Jussara, you were talking earlier about the whole issue of stigma.
Yeah, 20 years ago, actually 22 years ago, I found myself in a situation that it was recognized that I needed help, and I went to a psychiatrist and I started taking antidepressants. I had no problems at the time to share the fact that I was taking antidepressants, but yet people didn't seem to appreciate the fact that I was sharing that with them. They got uncomfortable.
Right.
So, yeah, so the medication piece was, I felt that it was so stigmatized. However, people wanted to pray with me, you know? Mm-hmm. Yeah, so wait a minute. You want to pray with me, but you get offended or kind of awkward when I'm telling
you're getting
you that
help.
I'm taking, yeah, that I'm getting.
People don't understand that just like when you get sick, you get
like
the flu,
diabetes or hypertension.
When you get an infection, you have to go take antibiotics or you do whatever the case is, you break your leg, you just don't pray and hobble on that thing. You got to go to the doctor. You got to go get a cast. You got to do
pray
those
that
things.
Broken leg away.
Right. That's right. Pray it away. Mental health, same thing.
And can we just say to some of these people that come at it with that point of view, there were times I wanted to say, have you never been through a hardship?
Right.
Did Christ promise you're never going to go through hard times? Mm-hmm. You're never going to find yourself. No, he didn't promise that.
Right.
He just promised to be next to us
it
all.
That's right.
And to feel that pain with us. But he never promised
that we
wouldn't go through.
And many people in the Bible question sometimes during those hard times. We know the story of Elijah. We know the story of Jacob or even Jesus at that time. Not questioning God.
Right.
But really,
I'm
in this difficult situation.
Look
if
at
you
Job,
will,
yeah.
You know, change.
But
but
definitely spirituality really helps. It's not the only thing that would help. But it helps in your journey towards healing.
That's right.
Of that, you know, depression.
I have no doubts. Every person who prayed with me was beneficial.
Amen. Right?
Yes.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Amen.
And Dr. Mergoza mentioned that, how valuable that is in the many cases.
Amen.
So now let's see what the Bible has to speak on this issue. Novella, you
heard something
and read something that inspired you.
Absolutely. Deuteronomy 31, verse 8 says, the Lord himself goes before you and will be with you. He will never leave you nor forsake you. Do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged.
Mm.
I love that verse because the Lord himself goes before you. Mm. That means he's walked the journey. That means where you are going, he has been.
Yes.
He's going to hold your hand through it all. Life is like that. You have good things and you have bad things. If life was all good, we might end up like Job because Satan was like, look, you've given everything to Job. Why would he praise you, right? Mm-hmm. With God, he says, I will be with you in the rough times, too. He was with Job. He was with so many other people that even in the rough times, God is with us. So God has gone before us to even help us on the journey of mental health.
And this is a promise. You see, this one of the things that I love about the Bible is this precious promises that we, no matter what situation we are, we can grasp hold of those promises.
Right.
And they're almost like an antidepressant in some ways, not to the sense of it.
Right.
But, you know, there's a beautiful text in the book Education that Ellen White talks about, the fact that you're kind of like the lily in this sometimes very dirty waters.
Sure. Mm-hmm.
And what the lily does is that it sinks in this root down below all the dirt, all the pain, the brokenness.
To get the nutrients.
To get the nutrients. And what does she
do?
Yeah. And she brings up this save of life.
Yeah.
And she brings this perfume that you look and say, wow, that's mud. But that's this beautiful flower with this lovely perfume. So I think the Bible is like that. You know, some of these promises, even when you're going like you were, Erica, and maybe perhaps some of the viewers here are currently going through this tough, difficult moment. And you don't see, when you have depression like you did, you don't see an end of the tunnel there. But by faith, searching for those words of hope in Scripture, you can actually hold on to them, right?
Let us remember that, you know, God started with us. He started good in us. And when we go through times where we get depressed because of painful memories, painful past, you know, disappointments and such,
let us not wallow on those disappointments and failures in life, but then let us stand up, let us go back, turn around, because, you know, we are not failure, we are just unfinished.
Amen. And if it all fails, you also can include the healthcare providers.
No, that is a given.
To be blessings within
that. That is already a given. I think it was very clear for us today that it's not just about the prayer. We have to seek, in many cases, clinical depression needs to seek a health provider for medication, everything that comes with it. Mm-hmm. And then many times when you start taking the medication, the motivation comes back to pray, to, you know, seek God, to search the word more deeply. Mm-hmm. And then we feel better.
Because you feel like yourself again.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's true.
Yeah. So today we learned that depression is a real disease like any other, and that people of faith also may experience depression, just like they may experience diabetes or hypertension. Having depression does not mean you have a lack of faith. You are experiencing symptoms of depression. If that's you who is watching us today, and you have lack of concentration, sleep disturbances, maybe you're disinterested in prayer or in reading your Bible, or even if you've lost the joy of activity, such as singing in the choir for no reason, and it's constantly, every day, talk to your health provider, and they can evaluate you to see if you really have clinical depression. Remember, there is hope for depression. Keep believing the promises of God, even though we don't feel like He's there. He is. Seek appropriate treatment. God is with you even if you're feeling lonely and lost. For more information and resources, visit our website at hopetv.org/speakup and download our Speak Up notes on depression and spirituality. Be sure to share them with your family and your friends. That's hopetv.org/speakup and give us a call. We have prayer partners ready to pray with you. That's it from us today. We'll see you next time to speak up about issues that matter for your whole health and life.